The White Noise Podcast is an independent, community-led production. It is not affiliated nor endorsed by Gizmodo or Gawker Media. The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of each participant. Please do not listen if you are easily offended, breastfeeding, or deaf.
What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced.
Welcome. You've got
White Noise.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 5 of the White Noise Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Callis, and we got an exciting show today lined up with a lot of good names on the mic tonight. Our special guests this evening are Rontourage.
Hello, hello.
Who this time did not disconnect when getting his name called out. Kevlar is here live blogging, but he might pop in whenever he deems necessary, which probably will be often.
Yep, I'm here.
Gonzo Ryder's with us again.
My streak continues.
Trusty sidekick. or perhaps is he the main character?
Bum, I don't know.
Bum.
Special guest tonight is Get 'em Steve Dave, or Steve
Howdy
Dave.
Howdy, all.
How you doing, Steve? Thanks for coming tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Benguin's here.
Good evening, friends.
And Snoop Dizzle is joining us tonight.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Thank you for coming out tonight. I hope you all woke up on time this morning and not an hour early. Did you guys set your iPhones to wake you up at the correct time?
I didn't go to bed until 4 in the morning.
You wimps, I just stayed awake.
My favorite thing every year is watching at the end and beginning of daylight savings time to watch my clock jump ahead. So that's cool.
I tried to get an extra hour of sleep, but I went to sleep, woke up, and it was the same time that I'd gone to bed, so I kind of wasted it.
All right.
I was pissed off because the television guide went to back in time, so I was like, oh, Sonny's on FX, and it was 2.5 minutes. I was like, what the hell is this shit? I was upset.
Fail.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was watching Smallville as the time changed, and then it just started over again, and I was mad because it wasn't a very good episode.
Good old DST. You know, they add, the government adds a month, I think, every 20 years to DST.
That just happen a few years ago?
In 2005, yeah, they bumped it forward, I think, 3 or 4 weeks.
Lousy smarch weather.
So by the time we're dead, we're going to be having a two-hour change, is it?
We'll I'm excited.
We'll be falling back in spring and, springing forward in spring at the same time. That'll be a weird paradox. Awesome.
Losing 2 hours of sleep would suck.
Now, what happens to those places that don't, honor it? I think there's, a place in Indiana that doesn't, because I remember they're from an episode of
Quantum Leap. They succumbed. They gave in to the evil clutches of daylight savings time.
Arizona didn't.
Arizona and Hawaii are the only two places that do not observe daylight savings time.
Hawaii is a freak states.
Yeah.
Commies.
Well, this week we had some exciting news. The first one being the Xbox Kinect is
not out. That exciting. Calm down. Oh,
it's exciting for some people. You know, new revolution for gaming, and it's actually a pretty cool gadget where it uses cameras and 3D motion sensors to put the individual as the controller, meaning no buttons, no things that you hold. The way you move and the way you interact in front of this camera is what happens on the screen on the Xbox in front of you. And I know Benguin and Rontourage both picked an Xbox Kinect up this week. What do you guys, why don't you guys give us a rundown? What do you think, the goods, the bads?
Go ahead, start.
All right. It's pretty cool. I don't have any games for it other than Kinect Adventures and the assorted demos. It's fun, but I can really see the novelty wearing off pretty quick. because even after just a couple games of, you know, Rally Ball or whatever, it's like, all right. And then navigating the menus is nice. And every time I walk in front of it and it does recognize me right away when it works like it's supposed to, I always, you know, kind of brings a smile to my face. But I don't know. We'll have to see in a couple weeks/months if the allure is still there.
Reminds me when I was a kid and I got the power pad, and as a 200 and some odd pound fat kid living on the second floor, it was not a good idea. The landlord downstairs complained a lot about the pounding and plaster falling on his head.
See, I kind of had the opposite view, I guess. I love it. I went out and picked it up on Friday, I think. And then my roommate got one as well. We picked up a couple games for it. The Kinect Sports, there's a boxing game or something. And then his girlfriend bought the dance game. And they're a ton of fun. The Kinect Sports is the one I've been hooked on for a while. Kinect Adventures is okay, but it kind of, Penguin said, the novelty wears off quickly. Kinect Sports is a lot of fun, though. It's amazing how well it works. And most of the time, you know, the geeky nerd in me is trying to figure out how it even does what it does. When I walk in front of it and it notices my face, and when I'm, you know, moving my hands around and it's following everything pretty much perfectly, it's pretty unbelievable.
Have you played the Wii?
I've played the Wii. I never played the Move. I played, you know, Wii Sports, which is pretty much what everyone's played. And it works. It's similar to that, but I think it's a lot more responsive. You know, I remember playing like the Wii Golf, and I'd swing, and it would put my club forward as I was going backwards, and then, you know, it would kind of glitch out a little bit. This one's a lot more. I mean, I don't even know. It just works very well.
Do you get any kind of, do you have it freak out on you at all? Because I know sometimes for me, I think it depends on the lighting conditions. All of a sudden, my avatar will just start, like, spazzing out. Maybe it's epileptic or something.
I found it dependent on the game. Like, if you, in a game where you need to stand in one spot and maybe move your arms around a block, like this, the alley ball one where you got to hit all the balls down the alley. If you try and, like, duck or something that the game isn't supposed to do, then the avatar will freak out a little bit. Also, if you, like, hide your hand behind your back and stuff, it won't know where your hand is, so it'll kind of just glitch out a little bit.
But as long as you have it in front of me, and my thing started freaking out.
Yeah. Didn't they release a statement that said, like, you know, unlike the HP cameras, it doesn't hate people of darker skin tones?
It should work with everybody. I
think it has a thermal... somewhat of a thermal view on it.
It does infrared as well as like a regular camera.
Yeah.
A bunch of other stuff.
How is it in terms of space requirement? Do you have a lot of space around you when you use it, or is it more of a confined space?
In my experience, you do need a pretty fair amount of space, especially if you're going to be playing two players. Like, you need the room to move around and also just for it to be effective in tracking you.
Yeah, I have, between my couch and my TV, I have maybe 9 feet of space. And then width-wise, I have, you know, the entire width of the room, which is a good amount. And it's good. I mean, there are some... 9 feet isn't perfect. You know, as always, the further back you can go, the better. And it'll follow you as far back as you go. But it seems to work well for me. You know, it's rare that I have a problem.
How was the calibration, the setup? Was that easy to go through? Was it quick and painless?
Really easy. It does an audio setup, which, like, I guess it it tries to figure out where your speakers are in the room and where the sound comes from. So it plays sound through all the speakers real quick, and it just calibrates the audio. And then you basically just stand there and wave at it, and it starts to see you, and you just move around with your hands and stuff, and it's pretty quick.
Yeah, I'd say the whole process took me about 5 minutes or so, probably less.
I
will say, probably my favorite innovation about the Kinect is that it's the only video game console you can play with Cheeto fingers.
Good for Frucci.
Yeah.
Now I did an experiment where I listened to some crazy conspiracy theory radio, and Alex Jones believes that, number one, that it watches you even when it's turned off. And it's eventually going to be used to log you onto the internet so they can track you, and also lead the Predator drone/Terminators to your front door to kill you. So do you guys, like, hide the camera at night, or do you think that it is still on even when it's off because it has the infrared capability?
I make suggestive gestures at it to hopefully creep out whoever might be watching.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's computer watching.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because whenever I masturbate, I turn my webcam facing away from me, like towards me. Because it's really creepy to see that thing as you're going at it, because you're wondering, is it on? I don't know. Somebody watching me?
Oh, see, I have that problem all the time with the four webcams I have, and I think it's funny every once in a while someone will send me a picture like, oh, I caught you masturbating, and they send me the picture. I'm like, that's not me masturbating. You completely missed this scene of me masturbating.
That's funny you mentioned the conspiracy theory of that. Around the digital switch for TVs, people thought, there was this group of people that thought, like, the government would send brainwaves to the TV and make you, like, hypnotize you or some shit.
Well, that's what Obama did with his neuro-linguistic programming. His speech and cadence is designed to hypnotize you.
Okay.
You can't make this stuff
also
up.
Also about the Kinect, it's actually a tidbit of news came out the other day that this could have been an Apple product. The company that was behind the technology for the Kinect, they actually, when they were looking to sell it off, they approached Apple first. They were the number one on their list who they wanted. It just made sense that Apple would fit in with this product. And the reason they got steered away from Apple was because Apple, in their meetings and stuff, was such a big control freak, and they had so many restrictions, NDAs, lockdowns. They said it was absolutely ridiculous, their demands. So they pretty much said, you know, screw you to Apple. We're not meeting all your crazy, you know, fascist demands, and the rest is history.
Now, in the Kinect world, what's the word for, like, sexting? And would, like, Apple have made, like, sexting gestures? Like, you know, like the hip thrust, like, band and, like, autocorrect them?
If it detects
them?
A penis, it shuts off.
Yeah, like if you're, you know, like, doing the humping motion, does it, like, you know, autocorrect it to you, like, waving or handing someone flowers?
Well, somebody already did test out the Kinect while naked. I think it was a reviewer and a journalist at IGN, and, you know... He bounced around naked in front of it and stuff. Yeah, to make sure he wanted to see that, you know, if the Kinect still worked flawlessly with, you know, an extra hand dangling around.
Tripod.
Yes, but it did.
I don't think I could do that, because I think it might mistake my dong as another player, and it would be totally screwed.
I'll be another small player.
A puppet game. Never mind.
Now, did anyone else break a TV like that idiot reporter over at Consumerist did?
No, but I will say this, and I got to fix this problem. My TV is a relatively new LED TV, so it's, like, really thin. Mm-hmm. And the Kinect is mounted on top of it. And when you, like, jump around the room, the TV kind of wobbles a little bit. Oh. And it does. If we jump around too much, it'll mess with the camera a little, where it kind of freezes for a second. It says, like, Kinect is adjusting.
Don't
have a shelf below it.
Don't the TVs come shipped with that little strap that goes into the wall and...
I think, like, it did, but I probably threw it out. I bought it at my last apartment. And
Ron likes to live dangerously.
Yeah, you know, I got to live on the edge now.
On the edge.
On the edge.
Of the LED.
But that is the only thing that has been annoying, but it's really not the Kinect's fault. It's mostly just what it's mounted on. So
you didn't spike your dangle ball from your ceiling fan into your TV and give it the rainbow tear of death?
I don't have a dangle ball. I mean, I have two, but not from my ceiling.
Okay, then.
The only thing that went through my mind right now was tie sex chairs for some reason.
I'm just going to – that was the worst. I'm going to go.
I guess that would be flying gonorrhea.
I think we need to move away from this subject. But the other big thing that happened this week was the Facebook press conference, which I don't know if you could call it a big thing or not. But pretty much what happened is Facebook called a small press conference to announce their big leap into the mobile world. First and foremost, they announced that an update was coming to its Facebook app for iPhone and Android to include places and groups and stuff like that. They also mentioned that the reason why Android has been lagging behind on its Facebook app production is because Google bought their developer that was working on it, and there's a little bit of hostility between those two. And they also pretty much announced how Facebook wants to integrate itself with vendors and other things in mobile in order to make them be able to more directly market you depending on where you are and what you're doing and what your interests are. Thoughts on the whole new Facebook Threads conference? Was it necessary? Was it really that big of a thing for a press conference to be needed?
I think they finally gave Foursquare its death certificate, because the thing that Foursquare had over Facebook was you get discounts if you went to a certain place. It was pretty limited who was involved. But now that Facebook does that, and Facebook places, everyone and their grandmother is on, well, my grandmother is on Facebook, so it just seems they're going to be really successful in this. At the same time, I don't really care for it.
It's interesting to see. I mean, the whole Foursquare thing, like you said, they're killing it up. It's like the death blow to Foursquare. I think that's very valid. I also am wary about the whole, I don't know, I just think it's a little bit, it's nice that your applications will be able to have, you know, a single Facebook login. Like, if you've logged into one phone, you're logged into Facebook on all your applications. And at the same moment, I don't know if I want, you know, myself walking down the street and then I pass by, you know, a Ben and Jerry's, and then I get like an ad for Ben and Jerry's on my phone or a text message or whatnot.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, Facebook creeps me out these days. I don't know. The more and more I use it,
but I see why some others would.
Have you guys used that friendship option thing that just kind of started popping up over the last few days?
I never looked at that.
No,
that thing.
I saw it for the first time. Yeah, I saw it for the first time the other day. I was looking at the history between me and somebody else, and to be honest with you, it's not anything that wasn't available to begin with. They're just making it more convenient to access.
Well, yeah. The thing that I feel about it is, like, on the one hand, I think it's kind of cool and convenient to be able to see your interactions with somebody else. But the one part that does kind of, like, strike me as a little bit disconcerting is you can easily see anybody's interactions with each other, not just you, yourself, and somebody else. I can, you know, see between Stephen Callis and, you know, Stephen Callis's boyfriend, and see all of their interactions.
I didn't know you had my boyfriend as your friend.
Well, you know,
nobody can see it.
But see, that's the stuff I wonder about, because yeah, you can do that, but I'm sure I could stumble across people that I could do that with. But like, who cares? I don't want to see what they do with each other. I don't give
a
crap.
Let me ask something. Wasn't it? I may be.
Do you really not want to see what they do?
I'm not sure if I remember correctly, but I thought you could only see the friendships or the friendship feed between two people if both of them are your friends.
I think so. Yeah.
It is almost like you need like one of those like the pie charts when you sign up for like a free account, paid account, whatever account to figure out when you see these interactions between people. And it's just so easy. Go into the privacy settings and change it. It just seems very confusing. For, you know, like all the different ways that you can see something or you can't see something. And I think that's one of their problems. People misunderstand the privacy settings and they complain that there's no privacy.
Yeah. That's why you just got to set everything. I set mine so even I can't see my Facebook. So that's the way to do it.
You're too hip for Facebook, Ron.
Yeah. You know how I roll.
Well, I only go on when it tells me to go, oh, you got a message. Oh, I did. Mostly it's either from my ex-girlfriend or somebody else.
Staying on the topic of social networks, last podcast we talked about MySpace, how it's getting a revamp, and not even a week later, we're hearing that MySpace will be filing for bankruptcy or getting shut down completely. less than a week later.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it all comes down to making money. And Facebook has been making money for a long time. And people don't want to keep pouring money into a hole in the internet.
I think you meant MySpace, not Facebook.
Whatever.
The only thing...
it'll be Facebook in a couple of years when something else comes out.
Yeah, I mean, MySpace finally just turned into a giant advertising machine, which is kind of sickening to even look at. So they got what they did to themselves, basically.
I was actually a little bit hopeful for them that they're actually embracing, you know, that they were going to be a more entertainment media place for musicians to start up and stuff like that than, you know, try to be the whole social network. Because you know what? That's what MySpace was primarily used for. And I don't know.
But where's the money in that?
Use MySpace, though. And that was really its basic use for the past few years. But I mean, Facebook pretty much has it down now. I'm not really sure what the next social network will be, though, because there's so much behind Facebook.
I don't know if Facebook's going to go anywhere that far or that soon, because one of the things MySpace had against it was the fact that you can make your page GeoCities style.
It and has more features, so it's better.
Yeah, but Facebook still, I mean, everyone's essentially got, you know, the same look on their page. Everything comes in the same way. And that way, if you...
So much better.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Facebook, I prefer the fact that you can actually understand what the hell's on people's pages because they, you know, they didn't just look on www.3schools.com or whatever the hell and try to figure out how to do some CSS to make their fucking mouse trails show back up.
Yeah.
And that was with Farmville updates.
Although I noticed that I'm actually pretty pissed. There used to be if on your news feed, if somebody like posted, you know, a Farmville thing, you could exit out, and there was an option that said hide all notifications from this application, so you would never get another Farmville app update from no matter who used it. I think they took that out actually because somebody was using some stupid horoscope thing today. And I hit the X button, and it said either hide this post or hide all posts from this individual.
No, I think the way that works, I figured it out because one of my friends did the same thing. The initial post where it says, you know, Stephen Cowell started using Dick's horoscope, you know, thing, that one doesn't count. But when they actually post their horoscope from Dick's horoscope shop or whatever, the first one says, like, you will be raped in the butt today in an alley. You can X that, and it'll give you the option to hide all posts from Dick's horoscope.
That was the best way you could have ever explained that.
Wow. So it's like in Foursquare, like when I tell it not to update, you know, not to put on Twitter that I'm checking in somewhere, but it doesn't, but it puts up that I ousted somebody as mayor, like that kind of deal, almost.
No, it's more what you see from other people's feeds. So, like I said, if Steven starts using the app and it posts on his wall, I can't say, you know, I don't want to see anything from this app until the app posts its first actual post.
Okay.
So yeah,
you gotta see it
twice. Yeah, the initial post. I remember now. You're correct. It says, you know, so and so started using this app is what the first post is, and that's the one you cannot hide. Gotcha. But if you do want to make your Facebook experience more enjoyable, I do recommend using a user script called FFixer. If you don't know what a user script is, if you use Firefox, you could download an extension called Grease Monkey, and it's pretty much these little JavaScript add-ons that you could put onto your browser to make things make the internet more useful in certain sites. And one of them, FFixer, what it does is it allows you to fully customize the entire Facebook experience. So let's say you don't want to see suggested users on your page, on your left side of your page. You could choose to hide that option. So it really lets you customize what you see and how you see it. If you want to see all the pictures in one album all at once, it lets you do that. If you want to have the picture blow up to full size when your mouse moves over it, it lets you do that. So that's a FFixer on userscripts.org if you want to check that out. So does anybody else use it?
Nope.
Well, now you know about it.
I
still probably won't use it. I just don't give a shit. But it can be handy for people who like to bitch and moan.
Right. So if you like to bitch and moan, FFixer from user scripts.
But then if you fix it, what do you have left to bitch and moan about?
Exactly. You quit bitching and moaning, so I don't have to hear about it.
I would like to point out how Gonzo has become our resident person without an opinion on anything.
He's a resident.
Yet he's on every episode.
On every episode to say that he doesn't care about anything we're talking about.
He's the old man on the porch. That's what he is.
Damn, get off my yard!
Except those kids trick or treat when they're too old.
Damn them.
Damn them.
That hit a nerve, didn't it?
Do you have an opinion on that?
No.
I don't. I just listening to it before I came on, so I thought it was kind of funny.
But speaking of bitching and moaning, you guys heard about the woman who now has to pay $1.5 million for downloading 24 songs in 2006 illegally off of Kazaa.
Ironically, I do have an opinion about this.
Go ahead, Gonzo. You have the floor.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, like, how much they're charging, like, per song. Like, I understand you want to recoup some money back. But you have to be able to come up with an accurate amount of money. You can't just pull out, oh, you're going to pay $60,000 per song. How much money do you think she actually lost by downloading some really shitty metal songs? Like, they weren't that, like, Journey Don't Stop Believing? That song's been out for, like, 20 years. I'm pretty sure that song's made all the money that it cost. You're not losing any more money.
But now, aren't they calculating that based on how many people she may have shared it with?
I don't think so. No, 62,500 per song. Other times I've heard maybe about 30 grand per song in some similar cases. But this is the RIAA we're talking about, which are pretty gritty bastards.
And I understand they want to make money, but they're not going to get that. They can charge her all the money she wants, but is she going to be able to pay that much money?
Yeah.
I don't have $1 million lying around to pay to somebody.
I think it's more of a figurative thing. Than anything
it's a threat.
Else,
really, it's a threat. It's, yeah, it's a threat to wave around.
To deter anyone else from doing
They're
it.
They're trying to make an example.
Actually, what happened was I think the original offer from the RIAA was $5,000. After they went to court the first time, they're like, listen, just give us $5,000. We'll call it a day. And she said no. And then they appealed to that, and then the new judge was like, well, pay $75,000. And then he realized he made a mistake. And then I went back and forth, and each time it just kept going up and up in value until finally the latest judge just said, $1.5 million. Here, take it or leave it.
Really, it boils down to she's using Kazaa to download songs. Just don't do it.
Kazaa?
Now, wasn't one of her defenses, if I recall correctly, that she paid to use the Kazaa service, and she thought that entitled her to download songs because she was actually paying money?
I remember Kazaa Plus.
I think it was. I can't remember.
Either way, don't use Kazaa. I mean, it's already been shut down. It was shit.
But you can still use LimeWire so recently.
I remember bringing my G3. I had an old army pistol belt around the handles. I would sling it over my shoulder and bring it into when I worked at a college, just so I could hook into the T1 connection to download songs off Napster.
So wait, but the songs that she downloaded back in 2006, right? That was kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a long way back.
She was fighting since 2006.
Well, yeah, her lawyer pretty much downloaded around then.
Yeah, but her lawyer pretty much said that how much she should actually be charged is like somewhere around $24 or something like that, $1 per song, because that's right. Actually how much the industry lost. $24 worth of downloads.
But again, it's the whole point of Kazaa is like a... it's like BitTorrent, where when you download something, you're still sharing it.
But you're not sharing the whole song. You're only sharing parts, and everyone else puts their parts together, and then you get the song.
But you can be sharing the whole song.
The industry's
you
not
can
smart
be,
enough to
but
know
But you're
that.
Not giving another individual the whole song. You're giving them a part of the song.
Mm. Yeah, but...
I think she was one of the first people to get sued by the industry, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But they've come out, the record industry has come out and said, we're no longer going after, you know, like the 85-year-old grandfather who downloaded one song or like the 9-year-old boy who didn't know who he was clicking. We're going after the big sharers. But
well, originally, they thought she was accused of sharing 1,700 songs.
That's much different.
RIAA just needs to get their shit together before they start suing people and actually have concrete things instead of just saying, well, we think it might have been this, so we're going to charge you this much money.
Well, you know they were full of shit. You know when they were full of shit when they said, we want to... They went out with guns blazing saying, you owe us like $2 million, and they said, you know what, but we'll settle for $5,000.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the McDonald's coffee case. All the lady wanted was her medical bills, and McDonald's hemmed and hawed and everything, so she sued him for everything. I mean,
is that how that happened?
Oh yeah. All she wanted was just the charges for the hospital stay, which was something like a couple $1,000s, and they refused to pay like anything except for like $75. They gave her like a pittance, and she was just like, "Hell no! You know, you served this coffee really hot with the lid, you know, a little insecurely on, so it spilled." I mean, and she got third-degree burns. That, you know, it wasn't like it was
vagina, because she was stupid enough to drive off with a coffee cup in between
her
legs.
Well, no, she was in the passenger seat. They pulled over, parked, and she tried to remove the lid, and when she did, but to get third-degree burns even after it spills and everything, that was pretty hot.
Well, that's why you don't get your coffee black. You got to get a little milk in there, and then you're all good.
I think that's what she pulled over to do, is add sugar and milk.
They don't add it for you there?
They might have given you a little cup.
Either way, that case was ridiculous. And
this case is kind of ridiculous.
No, I don't think this case was ridiculous. Because now in the final verdict, they found her partly responsible and McDonald's partly responsible. Which is,
she didn't have to pay money. McDonald's got a lot of money they had to pay.
And they wouldn't have had to if they had just, paid for her medical bills, which is, what she asked for originally.
I don't know.
The jury decides the figure of the penalty to pay. So it's not even the lawyers on each side. It's what the jury decides that the person deserves.
With that case, I tend to err on the side of, the coffee was in her hands. If the lid was insecure, she could have seen that it was. And either way, at a certain point, to take responsibility for yourself.
I would never think
to sue for something like that. That's just ridiculous to even think about that in the first place.
Staying on more current legal news, not stuff from like 10 years ago.
Sorry.
Verizon was also ordered to pay $25 million for overcharging 15 million of its cell phone customers. And that is, I believe, on top of the refund. It's $25 million on top of the $52 million they were supposed to refund these people. How do you overcharge 15 million customers, a total of that many millions of dollars?
Because what do you think, it was an accident?
What Verizon did was they took all the OSs off their cell phones and made it the same OS so that their stupid employees could – their tech people could figure out the phones easier. Because I had one of the last phones that had the original OS. It was a Motorola E815. And the next one I got, they all had the same user interface. And what happens is if you go to menu, scroll over to settings and tools, the first one is My Verizon. And if you hit OK then, you instantly start browsing the web. And it starts charging you for the quarter of a second that you're not even browsing the web, but they considered that you were browsing the web. And that's how they were charging people, because it's the first thing under settings and tools.
So I know on a lot of feature phones, there's a button like on the face of the phone that when you hit it, it's a shortcut to the mobile web. I know on the old Ericsson I used to have years ago on AT&T, if I hit that button, it would be like connecting. And of course, I hit cancel right away because I didn't have a data plan. But apparently, when you initiate that connection, you get charged for it no matter if you cancel it right away or not.
And that's what Verizon had the shortcut as well. They had, I think it was either the up arrow. Actually, some of the phones had the little picture on it. It was telling you were going to mobile web. But they're Verizon's sneaky. Verizon's a very sneaky company, and
What I want to know is where they're going to get the money to pay the fine if they're already refunding these people. And then they have to pay another amount of money.
Well, it's because I think it took them so long to get the refunds out. These charges are from at least a year ago.
Yeah.
Aren't the refunds only like a few dollars, though?
No, each customer, I believe what I read is they're getting their full refund, but Verizon has to pay the FCC or the fine.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, they just fucking pulled out their money roll.
Won't that fine just be passed out? Can it be passed out to the customers though for paying this fine to the FCC?
It will. I mean, if you really think Verizon's going to cry about this or not, they're just going to tag on an extra fee to something down the line.
They're just going to they're going to add the iPhone and watch the money roll in.
Ugh, I hate Verizon.
And
this
will just be a drop up in the. If they didn't have my waterproof phone, I wouldn't be with them. So.
Yeah. They're
going to add a refund fee to your bill.
I remember I had Verizon probably 2006 was the last time I was with them, and I had a flip phone. Like I think it was a Razor or something stupid like that. And my bill was set to be like $60 a month, and every month, without fail, I was charged like nearly double that for nothing. Like I was never over minutes. I was never... I texted whoever, but I think I had like a plan or something like that. And I remember it always just being outrageous how high my bill was. And they're like, well, you know, it's fees and taxes. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's no way there could be this much in fees, you know?
Now did anyone ever run into the 911 mode on the Verizon phones problem?
Well, like the E911 thing?
Verizon took the federal law that said you have to let people know when they're entering into a 911 mode to mean that no matter what setting your speaker was on, like if you had the phone on silent, if you hit 911, your phone call would make an audible alarm noise, like a police siren, and you would be entered into 911 mode. And the problem is that a couple people were like, you know, I thought there was an intruder in my house. I hit the 911 button, and this loud noise sounded that everyone in the house could hear. And they were, you know, people thought they were going to get killed. Like, you know, you've seen the ones like where the lady's like, you know, she gets carjacked and like they hit 9 and like leave the phone on the side of the seat, you know, so the dispatcher can keep tracking them and listening in on the phone call. But what happened was with this feature that you couldn't turn off, whenever you hit 911, it would literally make this siren noise that you couldn't turn off. And they reported on the news, and within a month, Verizon said, we're not going to do that anymore.
Didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Victory for the people.
Yeah. That's how I got my free phone, because since they couldn't turn the 911 tone off, and I live by myself in a house.
Now, did they give the option to, like, toggle it or what?
Now you can. Now you can, but you couldn't before. Like I said, even if the phone was on dead silent, like, you know, vibrating and everything, it would literally – and the it was loud as can be. I hit a deer, or a deer hit me, and I dialed – and I'm like, what the hell is my phone doing? And I hung up and I dialed it again, and it still made the same noise. And, you know, and I told the people, I said, look, I live by myself. If I hear somebody downstairs, I don't want the crook to hear me. I want the crook to hear the cop busting in my door.
Well, speaking of more victory for the people, if you use Gmail, you won in a lawsuit against Google.
Woo!
Yay!
When am I getting my check?
The lawsuit was $8.5 million is what Google must pay.
Woo!
That money, none of that money is going to any of the users at all.
What, huh?
No, that's right. Well, you heard correctly. They are instead, you're instead getting, you know, a firm handshake. Thank you for filing this class action lawsuit. And we're going to put this money into a, you know, a common fund. A common fund for, you know.
A human fund from George Costanza?
Yes.
For who? Who gets the money then?
The fund gets the money.
If we send out to people barely get anything because it's only, what, 8 million?
I don't care. I'll take 2 cents.
I'll give you my 2 cents.
Why, thank you.
But this common fund consists of groups and organizations that advance the privacy interests of internet users.
So I guess Facebook's not getting anything.
No. So it's pretty much probably a bullshit fund.
Yeah.
That sounds like complete and utter bullshit.
It is. And That's probably the only major lawsuit that you will probably ever win that matters, and you would get nothing from it.
Yay.
It's like, I remember when I get those like those class action lawsuits, things like, you owned a zip drive and you suffered the click of death. You know, you can get $2 back for each zip disk that got ruined. You just have to send in the UPCs from the original disk.
It's like the Comcast lawsuit. I actually won $16 off that, because Comcast was with a whole internet throttling fiasco that they were doing with torrents and stuff. I won $16 off it. I got a little postcard at my house.
Well, there's a 12 pack of beer right there.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah. I got Comcast paid me $16.
There was Comcast a Bell lawsuit a few years ago that I think I missed out on, and I could have gotten some money, but whatever.
Google's also suing the U.S. government right now because. Apparently, there was the government favors Microsoft over Google, which
I heard about that. Didn't read too much into it because, as usual, yeah. I don't give a shit.
But because you don't give a shit, let me explain for you. Even though you still don't give a shit, other people
do
give
a shit. I would like to be educated. Please educate me.
I shall educate you. The lawsuit is that the Department of Interior was chose Microsoft to host all of its productivity suites and stuff like that. And Google did not have a chance, is what they claim, because all the Department of Interior stuff favors and is based off of Microsoft suites. So, and it's incompatible with anything that Google has, like it's Google Docs or whatever. They couldn't use that because Department of Interior has it set up so only Microsoft stuff can work with them. So they're pretty much bitching that we never had a chance to compete for this bid, and wah, and Microsoft, well, that's, wah.
Did that Google have security? Google, Microsoft antitrust lawsuits and everything else like that from like the mid-90s when they were roasting Microsoft?
The government's been using Microsoft stuff forever, so upgrading their systems that way makes more sense because they don't have to learn a new system. When I mean, all they're doing is upgrading at this point. They're not really putting in new systems. But also, exactly. Microsoft's security is proven. Google's security for enterprise is not proven.
Google is just bitching that they never had the chance. You know, you didn't give me a chance to prove my worth to you. That's what they're saying.
They you don't get actually, a chance.
You have to prove yourself. You don't go out there and say, "Hey, can I have $7 million to do this?" No, you do it and you show it to us. We're not. There's no bid out for it right now. Sorry.
Security, I'm sorry. Get the fuck out.
Do you not live in a society where everybody points the blame to everybody else and never takes responsibility for their own actions?
Well, really, it is everybody else's fault.
Exactly. We should back Google on this. 100%.
I think they should get a Mac because Macs have no viruses.
They're the most secure products on the planet.
Don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining.
Take that shit.
They're secure unless they're Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Macs are discontinuing the Xserve too, by the way.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It just makes more sense just to have one machine that acts as a server, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, that's not even on our topic list, and I really don't care about it. I'm pulling a Gonzo on that. We're not talking about that.
Fuck yeah!
All right. And we're going to do our very last lawsuit topic, which now involves Apple and the 3G iPhone. Pretty much in California, they're ramping up for a class action lawsuit against Apple, saying that Apple willingly knew that iOS 4 would render their phones useless if it was an iPhone 3G, which I could tell you from personal experience, it did. And even with 4.1, it still does. It's horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
Now, useless how, and does this apply to the iPod touches?
It does.
It does, yes. And useless as in it pretty much breaks them into nothing more than a paperweight. For example, I cannot run pretty much anything on my phone with the exception of the SMS or the web browser. I can't do any games anymore. I cannot Shazam, okay? For fuck's sake, Shazam just records something and blasts it in the internet. I can't do that. It lags like crazy, it crashes all the time, and it gets all choppy. I can't use any of my apps on my phone anymore.
And you get no battery life, you pretty much have to leave it plugged in 24/7, so it doesn't become a mobile device anymore.
It really is a brick.
Now, see, I found that on mine, I think that the battery life went down with the Wi-Fi. I think the Wi-Fi really went into overdrive. And I kind of wonder if that was a way, that was them trying to fight the networks, you know, the 3G network suffering and trying to, you know, dump it onto Wi-Fi as much as they could.
Yeah, you can dump it onto Wi-Fi, but then you have like 20 minutes of battery life.
Even with Wi-Fi, I mean, if I take my phone right now and I try to open up my SMS application, let's see, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005. 5 seconds just to open it up. Whereas before with iOS 3, it was like almost instantaneous. And it's not to say that I have my phone filled with music or apps and stuff. Since I can't use anything, it's pretty much empty. But even loading up Safari, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005, 1006, 1007, 1008, 1009, 1010, 1011, up, loading. 11 seconds just to even get to a loading page. See what
now,
I mean?
I thought the 3G wasn't upgradable to that. Anyway.
It is.
The 3G can upgrade to iOS 4, but it's like a gimped version of iOS 4. You don't get quite all the features.
Right. Same thing with the iPod Touch. It's the earlier version of the iPod Touch. It's like mine, which is a 2G iPod Touch.
Pretty much what they have to prove before this becomes a lawsuit, they're claiming that Apple willingly knew that the 3G and the 3GS could not support iOS 4 as they claimed it did. But pushed it out anyway. That's what the lawsuit has to prove.
The only other thing I find with the lawsuit... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I know this is not exactly a solution, and I hate when people present this, but have you tried, ever since you upgraded to 4.0, doing a clean install rather than an upgrade?
Yep.
Like, just restore as new? Okay, and that doesn't yield any better results?
No, it doesn't. I mean, jailbreaking makes it even worse, to be honest with you.
Or doing a forced restart where you actually quit the apps instead of just suspending them?
If you do, there's a soft reset and a hard reset. The soft reset is where you just hold both buttons down and it resets. A hard reset is after you do a soft reset, you immediately do the same thing before it has a chance to load up, so it completely blasts any PRAM or whatever else is in its system. That doesn't work either. Doesn't do any effect. Wow. So
now, the other thing I had a problem with this lawsuit is that they said that trying to load the old OS voids your warranty, which I cannot understand beyond. I don't understand why they're saying that.
I was a little bit confused about that. I heard that they were talking more about on the jailbreak lines, like jailbreaking into your iPhone. But why doesn't Apple have a downgrade function available for their iOS?
What I found the problem is that when I tried to do it to my iPod, was that a lot of the apps upgrade with the OS, and for you to roll back, it's really difficult for the apps.
It is. It's very hard to even do that, because I tried even downgrading and it was just complete shit, so I just said, you know what, let me just restore my backup that I had with 4.1 in it, and I'll just roll with that. I mean, next week I'll be picking up the Droid 2 Global. I'm switching over, but it's been a fun 3 years. The last one being a roller coaster with iOS 4.
That's weird. You said 3GS too, because I had a 3GS recently. It was with no SIM, but it seemed to run fine. But
The lawsuit mentions the 3GS in it, but it's primarily towards 3G.
Oh, okay.
3G.
Yeah, I had iOS 4 running on my 3GS for a while, and that ran fine. I didn't have an issue. So
yeah,
but I think it's, you know, if you remember, the 3G to 3GS transition brought the like new speed and stuff of the phone.
Right.
So I would imagine that's probably what caused the issue.
Right.
I sometimes wonder if it's like the in the original Batman movie, when it's not the deodorant you use, it's using the deodorant and the mouthwash and the shampoo that causes a problem. You know, so it's not applicable to everyone, but certain people just have that certain sequence of things running that just it's always going to screw it up.
You know, that's not a bad point, because I know people that have issues with their iPhones that like I've never even heard of.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you remember the hits and you forget the misses, like, you know, with the psychics, you know, and so all you're remembering is the bad times you have with your phone, and you assume that everyone else is having them. Or, you know, you've heard from 4 people who said they had problems, but you forget the 10 people who said that they had no problems.
Right, right.
I would like to see Apple lose, but I think the burden of proof is way too hard.
It is.
Show.
Yeah. I wish I could probably, you know, get money out of that. You know, I get my 2 cents or 3 cents, however much it'll end up costing me towards my favorite.
That,
but
no, that money will go towards Job's new organ, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Oh, that boy. Fund. The Steve Jobs metastasizing fund.
Come on.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
Leave the poor guy alone.
We're getting kicked off iTunes now.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus.
Subscribe to us on Zoom.
Forgive me.
Open up. This is Steve Jobs.
Steve the Jobs.
Open up the fucking Steve door. Jobs.
Anyway.
Steve Callis from Gizmondo.
Who the hell is that? My name is Configlio Rumpelmeyer, by the way. I'm the host. And that's Configlio with a K.
Is Callis your stripper name?
That's my stage name, yes. It's actually some other poor guy on the internet that I sold his identity. And he's never going to get a job because of me.
Screw that guy.
Seriously. But
that's why Steve Davidson exists, because not many people know my real name. And, you know, you can Google both my names, and they both come up with completely different online activities. So.
Oh, the dual lives we live.
Yeah.
But staying on the
My real name
apps,
is Ron Taraj.
With a zero instead of a null.
Yeah.
That's a certificate.
He's that lead.
So lead.
See, I respond to John and Steve Dave, so it's tough sometimes. Because it's like, I don't know what name to give, or I carry 2 business card holders on me. So it's like, which card do I give the person, my real one or Steve Davidson's card?
Yeah, I remember when I met you at that bar in Brooklyn. You gave me like 8 business cards, and I was like, what am I supposed to do with all this stuff?
Ironically, one of them said Steve Callis.
Yeah, one of them said Steve Callis. One of them had my name on it. I was like, I didn't know.
It was actually a mirror. you know, consumers posted a deal for business cards. I was like, okay, I'll get a couple more. Oh, 1,000 business cards I can put Roof Coffee Cup on? You got it. For $3? Sure thing.
I'm only going to get a business card where I can put free lunch on there, so just so I can put it in place and get free lunch.
Potential lunch winner.
Yes, just like the Mitch guy, Hedberg. Mitch Hedberg.
Right.
What a great guy that was.
I remember when I used to go to my dentist, they used to have like a little toy chest, you know, at the end of your visit, and they used to have these little business cards for free goldfish. And like, I guess like the pet store was supposed to send them the bill, which is really funny. I don't think I ever turned them in either.
You could have had your own koi pond.
I know.
Oh boy.
They're delicious.
Skyfire was released this week for the iPhone, since we were on the subject of Apple and its apps. But for those of you who have Android, this is no news to you. For us who have the iPhone, this is huge news for us. And what happened was, within the first few hours of release, Skyfire servers got so overloaded they had to pull the app from the App Store temporarily. Sold out, yeah. And then they put it back on for a limited time, claiming that they were releasing it batches at a time to keep up with their licenses, because it's such a huge hit.
I was on the App Store earlier, a few hours ago. It seemed to be back. I don't know if it is currently as we speak. And yeah, it's there, right to the top of the top page. $2.99.
Yeah, I got it right after it came out, and it's all right. I don't know.
Being an Android user, I mean, I, of course, have Flash, but I don't know. I just don't see the appeal of Flash on mobile platforms. The things I would care about, you know, are like Hulu, YouTube, but there's separate apps for that anyway. So, you know, it just seems like the whole argument's just for flaming or trolling.
Yeah,
I didn't want to pay for it, but and then I found it was only for video, so I was like, I can't do Tiny Chat. Yeah, I think this is before I was banned. I can't do Tiny Chat on it then? Then hell no.
You wouldn't want to do Tiny Chat on a mobile phone, though, anyway. It's very wonky.
Speak for yourself.
But I don't know. I mean, coming from a person whose phone is pretty much a brick, I'm actually it's really hard for me to go to any other browser ever since I started using Opera Mini, because coupled with the phone being slow and coupled with AT&T's network here in Chicago being AT&T's network here in Chicago, Opera Mini for me, like browsing the Giz site or anything at all, it's like 2 seconds and I have the site up. Whereas
with Opera Mini renders it like shit.
It renders it like shit, but I really don't care if I'm just reading text. I mean, even when I'm posting, like if I want to post a comment on Giz or whatnot, sometimes I get a few quirks here and there where I have to retype my whole comment over again because the servers didn't update. So I've learned to copy everything before I send it. And there's the whole issue of you're not being able to pinch and zoom and get the fine, tiny little buttons that well either. But I don't know. It's hard for me to go to Skyfire or anything else because the speed is just – I'm spoiled by it.
Yeah. Whatever you want for Flash on a mobile device still remains at homestarrunner.com. So, you know, let's get that going, guys.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, as far as video goes on the internet, you know, with the iPhone, you could pretty much see anything you could see in Flash in HTML5 as well, you know, with YouTube and Vimeo and sites like that. The only thing, like you guys said, would be to see sites that are Flash.
Well, you know, sites like Pornhub, you know, let you download in .movie format, so... Or so I've heard.
You don't have personal experience?
No, that's why I have a laptop in my bed.
There are very few sites, even on my Evo, that I'm like, let's say the Evo didn't have Flash, there's very few sites that I'd be like, boy, I wish I could go on that site. But also, that version of Flash is usually a bit jittery anyway, so it's not like the best thing to watch video content on anyway.
Benguin, I know you. Since we're wrapping up the topic of apps, I know you do want to. You have an app review for us. I think it was called Trainyard for the iPhone.
Indeed, sir. Indeed, it's an app I've been wanting to review for a little while. I've been playing it for a couple weeks now. Been on a little break. but this is a wonderful puzzle app for the iPhone. The basic idea of it is you have trains that you need to guide into their appropriate stations. You have the three primary colors, red, blue, yellow. You have to guide them into the appropriate station, red, blue, yellow. It starts off pretty simple. As you get to later levels, you'll start having to combine colors, you know, make purple, orange, green, splitting up trains, combining them into one. It gets pretty hectic towards the end, but it's a lot of fun.
So it's really similar to that. It's similar to that Air Flight Control app?
I think so. I haven't played that one, but a lot of people do make that comparison.
Yeah, I have that one.
It's really simple to learn, but it's towards the end, it gets really complicated, but it still remains fun. That's the important thing. Cool. One of the cool things about this game is you can share and view solutions on the trainyard.ca website. So if you kind of get stuck, you need inspiration, or you just kind of want to see how other people have solved a particular puzzle, you can go on there, and it's got a little embedded Flash player, so you can actually watch the solution play out instead of just looking at the track placement. It's technically not a universal app. It's supposed to be just for the iPhone, but the developer claims it looks really good on an iPad, which makes sense. The graphics are real simple, so I could see why. It's 99 cents right now. Apparently, that might be a sale. I don't know. When I bought it a few weeks ago, it was 99 cents, but the app description does say it's a sale. So, you know, maybe act quick, lock in that price. But it's a real fun game. If you want to give it a shot, there's a free version called Trainyard Express. So it doesn't have... it's missing some of the most advanced features from some of the last levels, but it gives you a real good idea of how the game plays out. And it is about 60 unique levels that you don't even get in the paid version. So you can always supplement, you know, the both of them just for all sorts of extra goodness. So I recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you, Benguin. And I also want to put the spotlight on Kevlar, if he's still with us and not sleeping. You stir around,
here.
Kev?
I'm here. All right.
Well, there was an interesting video that popped up on YouTube that was brought to our attention a while ago. It's a review of the Mitsubishi I from a certain someone called T-Bone, who has a very striking resemblance to our very own Kevlar Menace. And if you want to go to YouTube, look up Mitsubishi I, the letter I, JDM, John David Martin, Flavor Might Save Mitsubishi. And it's about...
Wait, how do I get to this YouTube site?
HTTP, as in Howard Thomas Thomas Penis.
Okay, hold on. Hit up.
HTTP?
Thomas Thomas Penis. The link is... Oh. It'll be in the show notes. We'll have a link on
there. Hit up the two dots, the forward slice, and wubba wubba wubba. Okay.
Where's backslash?
What the fuck? Anyway, if you look up Mitsubishi I, JDM, as in John David Martin, Flavor Might Save Mitsubishi, we get about a four-minute review of what makes the Mitsubishi I awesome in Ebonics.
Kevlar, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, actually, the entire filming was literally 10 straight minutes of me rambling at the camera like that. He had to cut it down because I got really racial. And that's my buddy's channel, and he actually is an automotive journalist. And so when he posted it, he's a freelance journalist, but he doesn't want to get cut out of reviewing cars from Mitsubishi or any company. It's kind of stupid to burn bridges. So he decided to the most racist I got was the cup of noodles.
wait, I thought it was actual. What that was in there though, right? What actually was cut out?
You know, one day I'll find the original, 9-minute long thing.
Because I remember the noodles, right. Though.
Yeah. No,
wait to see the director's cut.
What prompted this, by the way?
Well, he brought the car. He lived in Houston. He came out to test drive the Ford Mustang 5.0 earlier this year. But he had a weekend to kill beforehand, called up Mitsubishi, said, hey, do you have a car I can, you know, drive around? They're like, yeah, sure. Here's a little three-cylinder turbo diesel or three-cylinder turbo all-wheel drive, basically fucking roller skate.
And so, you know, we're rolling around. It's a right-hand drive. The damn GPS shows that, you know, it doesn't have anything outside of Japan on it because it is a straight-from-Japan car. And we got drunk and decided to go outside, and I grabbed my you know, biggest douchebag clothing, you know, the sideways hat, the yellow glasses, and my white hoodie. And
cabbage.
The fact that you had all this douchebag clothing?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
The yellow glasses are for shooting. The hat was just a regular hat. I just turned it sideways. You know, they don't spell.
It's and a jersey thing. You wouldn't understand.
Individually, yeah, the article of clothing are okay, but with their powers combined, they make Captain Douchebag.
Exactly.
Known as T-Bone.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
It's a good look for you.
I want to know, are we going to be are we going to be seeing T-Bone again?
Oh, most definitely. Actually, he's coming out here in a couple weeks to do some stuff for the LA Auto Show, and he may be picking up another car. So
very interesting. You know what? Since you're the official agent for T-Bone, his manager, I would like to know the information on how to contact him and how to possibly get him to do some spots on this show and show up here sometime.
Pretty much just mail me a 12-pack. And, you know, give me about 30 minutes to go through it and about 30 minutes to go through it, and I'll give him his yellow glasses. He'll be back in action.
I will concede my spot as de facto app reviewer to T-Bone should he arrive.
See, now that would mean I'd have to get a phone that actually has apps.
Well, I
have
a review whatever the fuck you want.
Dude, you can review a banana. T-Bone reviewing a banana would be awesome.
Oh, my. The atheist nightmare.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But it's a quality video. You also check it out if you want a good laugh and just to see how crazy it is that we have cars here in the United States that have their manuals still written in Japanese and not English.
Well, no, this was a one-off car. It was imported by the manufacturer to see how the car look and size would basically when they drove it around, they just wanted to get reactions from people.
It was straight off the boat, man. Straight off the boat.
They need to put a coffee cup on top of it. Then they'll get reactions.
No, that little pink jelly bean or purple jelly bean car got enough reactions.
Or put some Kevlar in a hamburger.
Talk like that on this episode or future episodes.
We got to book them. There's a booking fee probably. There has to be some royalties that have to be settled.
Like I said, 12-pack.
Between T-Bone and us, yes.
Or just probably a couple ever. Four Locos. Maybe a couple Four Locos will do it.
We got to talk to producer Agrippa. He's got to throw out the bankroll.
didn't they just ban Four Locos somewhere? I just read.
I'm sure they did. I know they stopped selling Sparks on military on the Marine Corps base out here in California. They had a lot of issues with stupidity stemming from everything that is Sparks. So.
Very nice.
That shit's nasty as hell, too. I would not recommend drinking that.
Hey, I almost bought one today just to see, but I didn't.
Is this the booze with the caffeine in it?
Yeah,
they banned those here in Illinois or Chicago already. But,
You can buy them here, but I don't want to be around any drunk rednecks who's been hyped up on Sparks or Four Loko.
Yeah, they all can't be like that guy trying to get his sandal on.
But
that guy was on something more.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
A really drunk guy can't get his sandal on, and people are watching him, and he's doing this for like 2 or 3 minutes. Keeps falling over.
I don't know. I guess
you had to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it doesn't sound that funny when you say that.
Oh, the McRib.
He can't get his sandal on.
He can't get his sandal on, but I'm. Anyway. There was an interesting question that was brought up, which I would like to hear your opinions on if you have one. Gonzo, even if you do, feel free to chime in.
He won't.
I'll chime in with I don't give a shit. Let's hear what it is.
The question is the average Joe finally becoming decently tech savvy? Do you see anybody around you, the people that have sort of attached themselves to a specific product or technology that they're just average bimbos or Joes that are hooking onto it and getting the grasp and are sort of is being tech savvy mainstream?
My issue with that is people aren't tech savvy. People think they're tech savvy, and that's when they fuck everything up and they call their actual tech savvy friend who says, "That's a really nice fucking paperweight you got there."
Exactly.
Hey, can you fix it? You're tech savvy. Yeah, I'm not tech savvy enough to fucking take a fork out of an iPhone.
People are becoming more tech savvy, but they're still not decently tech savvy.
Right. No, I noticed this because I asked this question. It wasn't that people actually know too much, but they're finally getting into techier things. Like, I've noticed more people buying Blu-ray or using iPhones, which has been for a while, or just particular things that have kind of caught my eye.
I think they're getting more tech savvy, but they're still stupid.
Right.
Still stupid. It's like, I saw this video on YouTube. I got on the YouTube and I took out this video, so it must be real. It's like, no. Okay.
No, I think tech savvy tips YouTube, are just becoming more accessible.
Right.
Yeah, and I also think that it's becoming easier to diagnose and fix problems with, you know, everyday machines that we use, computers, phones, whatever.
The bar has been raised, but they're still behind the curve.
Yeah.
Well,
I think one of the big factors is when smartphones became cool, when it went from being just a BlackBerry that you could get email on to being the iPhone that you could actually do all sorts of, you know, on-the-go web stuff with. I think that level of smartphone, it was both good-looking and, you know, more than just email.
Well, and I think finally you've gotten away from, like, the era, which people have always said with certain new products, like, why would you want a cell phone, or why would you want anyone to call you anywhere you are? We finally moved away. The general public has finally moved away from that. They're more open to using those kind of devices, too.
Right.
Seriously, I can express this in terms of people haven't gotten any more tech savvy, because I still have to send out tens of links per day of let me Google that for you.
Oh, yeah.
I think in order for us to make the public more tech savvy, two things need to happen. One, it needs to be somehow associated with an iPhone and an app. And two, it needs to be somehow associated with the porn industry and sex toys.
Or Oprah.
Or Oprah. But
well, Oprah's porn industry, JJ.
Sex toys. Since on this podcast, on the White Noise podcast, we are known for giving out ideas that could probably make people very, very rich someday. I have another proposal for a sex toy, which is in fact related with the iPhone, and I call it the iHead. And pretty much, it will be a little dongle. It'll be like a fleshbot, but like more like a mouth thing, and you could attach it into the little bottom thing in your iPhone, and you can control with your iPhone app. You know, like the speed of the sucking, or like the
wetness. I think they already have it.
Do they already have
it? They have the opposite of that for women.
That's what I'm thinking of. It's the iVibrator.
Yeah, I think it's called the like iBod or something like that.
iVibe. I think it's iVibe.
It plugs into the headphone jack and it uses the music that you're listening to control the vibrations or
not. I don't know. That's a vibrator. I'm talking about an actual iHead device, like a portable mouth for
like
guys.
Like a fleshlight?
Isn't it called teledildonics, I believe, is the actual name for
that's the scientific name
for it.
Yes.
We call that lonely people.
Imagine how much money you could get, 99 cents an app, and charge like $20 just for the head dongle.
I'd charge $199. People would still buy it.
Dude, I'd just be driving around with an iPhone in my lap.
I mean, I paid $50 for my fleshlight, and I wouldn't, you know, and I wouldn't pay shipping on like my Tauntaun sleeping bag, so, or so I heard.
Well, goddamn it, we gotta make this. I gotta make this, and I gotta get Fruitchy to review it.
Fruitchy, yeah. Can we get Fruitchy as a guest? That'd be awesome.
I'd be afraid.
Me too.
I loved when I heard Rosa describe how big the box of fleshlights they sent Fruitchy was. Because that's apparently what they do. It's like someone will review their product, they literally send boxes of, like Kevin Smith, they send him like boxes of fleshlights.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, as always, we must end on the note of something involving sex or penises.
Penis.
Yes.
God damn it.
This was, yes, I know, it's time. We must part ways.
Oh.
Time flies when you're having fun. So
we're talking about penises,
especially with your mother, Trebek.
I want to thank you guys all for coming out again tonight and dealing with me with having bronchitis and all right now.
Me not giving a shit.
and you not giving a shit. Everybody else out there, send your get well cards. And
I tell you to get well soon, but I want you to suffer.
As long as you don't get us sick, we're not spooning tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Well then,
forking instead.
Okay. Well then, let's slowly sign off tonight. On the tonight, joining us, real quick, we had Ron Taraj.
Hi. Bye.
Kevlar T-Bone Menace.
Hey, what's up? I just live tweeted the whole thing, and I just made fun of everyone here, so suck my dick.
Woo-hoo. Okay. Gonzo Ryder, who never gives a shit.
Get off my lawn!
Get him, Steve Dave.
Who might I add is not doing this naked because I didn't take a shower yet today, and I got a little sweaty, so I didn't want to, like, you know, get my couch dirty with sweat, so that's why I'm wearing clothes.
Damn it.
Thank you for not falling asleep either.
Oh, yeah, well, that, I took that Adderall. God bless you, Adderall.
The ever-helpful Penguin was on here with us.
I'm not wearing pants.
Ooh.
Snoop Dizzle is also
Pigs,
here.
Get the fuck out.
Wearing pants.
Snoop Dizzle is wearing pants, and he wants you to join him in his bed so he could cuddle with you tonight.
Aww.
Right, Snoop?
Yes, I will whisper sweet nothings into your ear.
Oh, boy, come on.
We don't want sweet nothings. We want dirty talk.
I want a penis in my ear.
So that's what Gonzo wants. I want to make love to your ear, vagina.
I think we're creeping Ron out.
All right.
Ron's being a little
For the last three listeners that we have listening to this podcast, if you want to follow us, visit us on Twitter, twitter.com/walletpizza. And, of course, you can get the White Noise podcast on iTunes, Zune, or from direct download at thewhitenoisepodcast.com, where you can also find our topic list there on our WordPress. And we're also probably going to be doing a small revamp on the site, so everything will be all in one place. Yeah, stay tuned for that.
Can we have like a quiz or a vote on who the best special guest star is so they might be able to come back again?
Well, Pony's already did it twice, didn't he?
Okay, good. So I'm allowed two times off the bat, and then once we do like a quiz, I can possibly get more?
Maybe.
We're waiting for the ratings to come back.
It all involves bribing Agrippa.
Yeah, you really just got to get at him all day.
Just bother him as much as you can. Send him text messages. Send him flowers to his house.
Which is something we encourage for all of you, our listeners.
Send him dick pics.
Call him sexual chocks.
If you want to contact us by email with any suggestions, wallet.pizza@gmail.com. That's also Agrippa's personal email address where you can send him nude pictures of yourself.
Hear that, Brett Favre?
Speaking of dick pics, do not Google what a newborn panda bear looks like.
Oh.
Does it look like it? I'm Googling it right now.
I guess I kind of have to Google that shit.
Nice try, Bill.
Google.com newborn panda.
Oh, wow, look at that.
This flies.
Is that trying to worth shooting a hole in one?
What is that?
Sort of looks like a hairy penis, especially in that first picture.
It's a dick with legs.
It's really a bear.
It's got bears.
Good, hey, I'm not on band on Tiny Chat. Yes. Did we cover Tiny Chat yet?
Yes. So on that note, with the picture of a baby newborn panda bear that looks like a white hairy penis, thank you all for joining us tonight. And this has been the White Noise Podcast. Thank you all very much.
Penis.
I don't give a shit.
Penis.
I guess we're done.
White Noise. Penis? Make sure dig it hard.
Penis.
And now I'm all out of cigarettes. I'm kind of depressed.
Oh, well, smoke a cock.
I might
love advice from Stephen Callis.
Schneitra back.
Cock smoking.